Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see each one out tonight, all that can make it. It's good to see you guys and everyone else that's seemed to be AWOL for a while here. But so I think last Wednesday, they were wondering if anybody ever came to this church again. But praise the Lord. I'm glad each one's here. I'm just happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Yes.
Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise and just welcome you? Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I appreciate that song and hope you came expecting the same thing. This service ain't going to mean a whole lot if the anointing don't show up. You know, us as men, we're just men. We're just no different than anybody else. But let God get a hold of a man.
Amen.
You watch the Red Sea part in half.
Amen.
You watch a man speak to the sun, it stays there for a day.
Amen.
That's what happens when the anointing gets a hold of a man. Hallelujah. Let's open up our Bibles tonight. Get right into the Word. You have it with you. Hebrews chapter 11. I don't remember getting out of this chapter. Been trying, but I guess the Lord ain't done with it, so we're going to stay here. Hebrews chapter 11. Remember Brother Alexander in prayer at the end of the month here, the last Wednesday, or sorry, Sunday and Wednesday, at least 23rd and 26th, something of that sort. Yes, he'll be ministering for us. I won't be here this Sunday. You know, he'll be down with her friends getting married in Indiana, so keep those things in prayer. Hebrews chapter 11, go down to verse 32, please. Excuse me. What shall I more say? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah and David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more of a bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Like to preach tonight, as Paul said there, he said, the time would fail me, but we're finding the failed time tonight. I want to speak on Samson with the help of the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. By faith, Samson tonight. If you have a need, would you raise your hand to the Lord and ask that he meet it tonight? Say, am I just raising my hand for... No. God saw you raise your hand. That's when he answers, is when you step out in faith. Every eye closed. Let's just pray with all hearts. Now, Heavenly Father, we come to this building expecting, Lord, that we won't have to hear the words of a man or some thought or some reasoning, but God, we pray that you'll come and take preeminence in this service, that everything else of the world, every other voice that Satan might be trying to put in our minds, Lord, be cast aside in Jesus Christ's name, and that our ears would be attentive to your voice, that we would hear that God is speaking to us, Lord. If we're wrong, we pray with all our hearts, show us where and show us what to do, Lord. We don't want to come to your judgment, Lord. We want to come to grace. We want to come to mercy, Lord. We want to just be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, perfectly whole, Father. And I pray for this service that if there's one soul here that isn't saved, if there's one person that doesn't know you personally, that would change this service, Lord. And they'd walk out born again of the Spirit of God and have an assurance in their heart that if they would die, Lord, if the rapture would come, they wouldn't miss it, but they're a part of it.
Yes,
grant it to each one. I pray, Lord, you fill with the Holy Ghost anew, that we wouldn't walk out of here with our heads hanging down, but we'd walk in Christian victory.
Yes.
Grant it to each one, we pray. Heal the sick, raise the dead, do what you want to do. We commit the service to your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we study this chapter of Hebrews, how many's appreciated it?
Yes.
Even last week, if you didn't get the tape, or if you haven't listened to it, I would if I were you. And I ain't saying that because I was preaching, because Holy Spirit just took over that service. Even it was something, first time it's ever happened to me, where I was trying to pray and then all of a sudden he decided he was going to say something right in the middle of what I was saying, and I'm okay with that. Because last I checked, the words of a man don't mean a whole lot, but one word from God can change the whole world. One word said, let there be light, and here we are. That's all it took was one word from God. And if we'll become real little babes in Christ and real little children and quit trying to reason with God, quit trying to think up how are we going to do this, how are we going to do that, and just stay with what He said. Yep. Amen. Were you listening to a song today? These signs shall follow them that believe. We just do what He said and quit trying to think how we're going to get it done. You ain't going to get it done. He's done it. Yeah. People trying to get a good conscience, trying to be good, trying to be to go to church and pay tithes, and they're trying and trying and trying and trying. That's why you'll never get nowhere, because God never asked us to try. He asked us to die.
Yes. Amen.
That we might die and He might raise us up.
Amen.
That I can stand like Paul did and said, it's not I that lives anymore. Paul died when I met Christ.
Amen.
It's not I that lives, Andrew Crustle, anymore. It's right. Jesus Christ yeah. that lives in my heart.
Amen.
The same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And pray that tonight we will hear what the Spirit's got to say to the churches, that we'll see what God wants us to see. And as we read this scripture here about those that Paul says that he's went through the examples. We went through Moses, we went through Isaac, Abraham, Jacob, all the way down to Rahab and the harlot and being saved out of right in the middle of the judgments of God, and how the Israelites were foolish and as far as the world would see and put a bunch of blood all over their nice doors because the judgments were coming and they didn't care and they wanted to be saved.
Amen.
I hate to break it to you. If you want to fit in as a Christian, you're lying to yourself. You can't do it. If everybody's heading off the cliff and you want to live, you got to go against the crowd and get back on shore.
Amen.
And I hate to break it. Anybody thinks that this nation or any nation in this world's got a chance. If you live in sin, the Bible's already said, the soul that sins, that soul shall die.
Amen.
And the nation that turns its back on God, He already said, will come to desolation.
Yes.
And we know, as far as the Bible says, every kingdom will fall on this earth, but there's one that won't. Everybody's looking, where's the kingdom of God? Everybody's getting the calculators out and figuring out what date He's coming so we can look up in the sky and know, on March 11th, 2013 or whatever that, 2011, and coming up with all these things. One of these days, you'll miss it every time doing that. When Jesus came the first time, how many of us reasoning with the promise of God would have sent the Messiah to a family that didn't have enough money to go to the inn? Didn't have enough room. They didn't get there on time. They had to go spend the night in a manger to bring the Messiah. How many of us would have thought that up? I don't think so. We'd had a nice quarter, or just a whole line of angels, wouldn't we? Just sweep them right in and say, hey, everybody, look, here's the Messiah. Just goes to show God's not looking for just anybody.
Amen.
Salvation is to all, but there's an elect group that can receive it.
Amen.
And how are you ever going to know? Not because Brother Andrew said so. Not because you go to a church that believes all the word. Not because you associate around things that are called Christianity. You yourself must receive.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As we go through these stories, I could tell of Gideon, as Paul said. I could tell of Barak and the mighty man of faith that they've had. Even Jephthah. Anybody read the story of Jephthah? Jephthah came from he was the illegitimate child in his family.
Right.
He was the one born out of wedlock. The child of whoredoms is what they called him. And yet God used him to deliver Israel and ignored everyone else.
Amen.
Because the show, God ain't looking out here. He's looking in here.
Amen.
People say, God knows my heart. God knows my heart. And I hate to break it to you, He really does.
Yeah.
And we know, if we'll be honest with ourselves, plenty of wickedness got in that heart before.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of jealousy's got in that heart. Plenty of greed's got in that heart. Plenty of lust has got in there. But aren't you glad?
Amen.
Somebody came one day.
Yeah. Amen.
That's if you're born again now. Look, we don't want to be applying the promises of God to sinners and applying what the judgments of God onto the saints. No, sir. But if you're born again, are you born again tonight?
Yeah.
How many know?
Yeah,
look, that's the point. We've got to get past the reasoning and thinking and just maybe I'm safe. I know I'm safe because I've met God.
Amen.
Too many people have just a good idea of God. I'm talking about a God I've met face to face. I'm talking about a God that when I was sick, He showed up.
Yes,
and I wasn't sick anymore. I'm talking about a God that when I have a need or anybody around me has a need, He shows up and He stands right there and He fulfills it.
Amen.
I'm talking about a God that ain't deaf and dumb and blind and dead. That's what most people, Jesus is, isn't it? Or He's just so far away, He ain't going to do nothing with us until He comes back. He stands in your midst tonight.
Amen.
The Spirit of His Son is the Holy Spirit. There's not two spirits of God. There's one, and He's here. And that's why you must receive the Spirit, or you'll never see it. You'll make fun of it. You'll think it's craziness. And that's what happened to those that perished and went to hell in Jesus' time. They looked at Him. Let's just go to the story of Jesus for a minute, if that's all right. He saw a man withered in his hand. Couldn't use his hand. And they had come up with their doctrine for so long that if it's Sunday or Saturday, if it's the Sabbath day, you know, we can't be healing on the Sabbath day. And they looked at him, thought they had the word figured out, didn't they? Sure. Goes to show, without revelation, this Bible won't mean anything. You'll be a two-fold child more of hell than you were before you read it. Amen. That's the problem. Sometimes atheists know the Bible more than Christians. I think it's a shame. But at the same time, without the revelation, you'll come up with all kinds of conclusions. You'll come up with conclusions how Jesus is going to come back, and you'll miss how He said He would.
Right.
Yep. He came back in the bride.
Amen. Yes,
he did. I'm just going to throw that out there for a minute. And the only one that's going to see Him in that second coming is the bride of Christ that will go up and meet Him.
Right.
Now, every eye will behold Him, but I ain't looking for that time. Oh, my. If everybody thinks Jesus is going to be that little 5'3" man that just humbly walked around and people wanted to push Him, He just let Him. No, 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 not this time. You turned on God's grace, you've accepted His judgment. The Bible says when He comes back the next time, He'll have eyes of fire. He'll have feet of brass, which means divine judgment. He'll be girt about here, showing He's the supreme judge. He'll have snow white hair, not because He's old, but because He's the supreme authority of all heaven, earth, and hell. That's the God you'll get to look at in the face. And now you realize why in the book of Revelations, when they saw the Lamb, they hid. They ran. And not just thinking they might. They said, put me in the dens of the cave, find me, and let it fall on me, and kill me, and get me away from Him. This is real or it's fake. It's one of the two. I'm convinced and I know for sure this is what's going to happen.
Right.
They looked at Jesus. They had their doctrine all figured out. They say, oh, this man's a hypocrite because he don't follow our way of thinking about it. They didn't read that the Word said He heals all our infirmities.
Amen.
Didn't say what day of the week He'd do it. He'd say do it anytime He wants to. The Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath.
Amen.
He said, He told that wither man, all He said was to stretch forth your hand. And it was as well as the other one. What did it say that those men do? Look, they just watched a miracle.
Right.
And we would think, you would think that anybody with a sensible mind would say, maybe I should look into this. Mm-hmm. You know, this stuff doesn't happen every day. Mm-hmm. You think that when Lazarus was dead and they had the big stone on his grave, remember they would bury him in caves and things then too. And he said, he's been dead 4 days. People already forgot that he died. You know what I'm saying? It's already done. If you weren't his close friends, you know, read in the obituary, oh, old Lazarus, he's gone. Already done, forgot about it. Moved on with their daily life, but not Jesus. He remembered.
Amen.
He said, move that stone away. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And you think, if you watched a man been dead 4 days, hobble out in his grave clothes, you don't say, hey, loose me. Get me out of here. Come back to life. That the first thing you say is, I might want to listen to this man called Jesus. What does the Bible say? That same group that told him not to heal on the Sabbath day, the same group that thought they were religious, the same group that thought they knew God, you know what they wanted to do? The Bible said they wanted to kill Jesus and Lazarus.
Yeah.
What a foolish strategy. He just raised him from the dead.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to a man that can raise the dead? You going to kill him? Well, you probably could raise from the dead. And that's exactly what happened when they tried to nail him to the cross. Once redemption was settled, the grave could not hold him. But on the third day, he stood up. Physically, I'm not talking spiritually. That's happened to all the saints. But he himself, that body stood up, stood back up.
Amen.
Nobody called for it. He did himself. He said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to bring it up.
Amen.
And he did just that.
That's right.
Show me another religion where their founder, you can't find their body. There's a grave with Buddha's name on it. There's a grave with Muhammad's name on it. They go find the tomb of Jesus. That one's empty. He ain't there. The Bible says he's up on the right hand of the Father, waiting for the time when redemption is over.
Amen.
Then he'll come and pull back. What does redemption mean? It means to buy back, which means you had to be his at one point.
Sure.
Everyone that saved was saved.
Right.
Always was. Couldn't lose it. But again, don't you go on some predestined curve. You ain't received the Holy Ghost. You have no sign to yourself that you're saved.
Right.
You have none. And there's people that will be saved that don't know about it until judgment day.
Sure.
Saying, how is that? Remember that group when he separated, he said, put the sheep on this side and he put the goats on that side. And he said to one group, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And so on and so forth. And they said, Lord, when did you do this? He said, when you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me.
Right.
Enter into life. Now, I ain't talking about the bride. That's what we understand. That's the ones on the outside of the kingdom. That's not what the message came to get us to. Yeah. It came to get us into the bride of Christ. Right. Well, we know that we're saved now.
Right.
By faith. Now, I'm like, not by hope. Remember, even scriptural hope means it's out there. No. Faith means I have it.
Yes.
Right here. As we read in the first verse, remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I have a Bible in my hand. Anybody want to debate me whether this Bible's in my hand right now? Say no. Why? Because you all have the sense of sight. If you were blind, you might have to take my word for it, wouldn't you? Because you can't see it, you know?
Sure.
Maybe if I had something that smelled good and you couldn't smell, you'd have to take my word for it if it smelled good or not, wouldn't you? It goes the same when you don't have faith. Don't go condemning things you might not know. Ask the Lord to show you.
Amen.
Ask the Lord to give you the sense of faith.
Amen.
And it's so hard to get people because they want a reason. And they want to figure it out. They want to understand faith. That's not how faith works. You get it. Like, it's given to you.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is. And it's real. It's its own sense. It's its own power.
Amen.
You don't need feelings. You don't need sight.
Right.
You don't need smell. It's so much higher than that.
Amen.
That if all those things contradict what faith says, faith's still true.
Amen.
When a man that was 100 years old, never had a child in his life, had a wife that was 90, been barren all their life, but God said, you will have a son by Sarah. When he came to Abraham. And Abraham didn't struggle at the promise of God. He had real faith. He didn't have intellectual faith. He didn't have put on faith. He had faith.
Amen.
He said, what God has said, he'll do it.
Amen.
Didn't say when. And God, that's the one question everybody wants to know. When's he going to do this? When's he going to do that? And that's the one question God never said he'd tell them. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. He didn't say when.
Right.
But they will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And a man that was 100 years old and a woman that was 90, never had a child in her life, had a baby.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Samson, now, if we can go, I want to delve into this because, let's go to Judges 13 if you have your Bibles. As I read this chapter here, Samson has always stood out to me. And the reasons I say that is because, you know, Paul had his pickings. He could have picked any saint from the Old Testament he wanted, any man that's been in there, and for some reason, Samson's name's put in there. And what do most of us know Samson by? Samson and Delilah. We know him as a womanizer, right? One that never wanted an Israel, didn't want a believer girl, he wanted an unbelieving girl. One that gave the power of God away because he wanted a good-looking woman. And that's what everybody that knows Samson by, that casually knows about the story, they know he had long hair, got chopped off because of some woman. Why did Paul feel to put his name in the faith chapter? Let's watch this for a minute. Judges 13. We'll start at verse 1. It's all right if I take my time tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Now don't get all bored on me. You're hearing from God tonight. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. So we look at the beginning of Samson's life. He came in a place or in a time of complete apostasy. He came in a time when they had been under the oppression of the enemy for 40 years. And we all know that that's the position you've got to be in most times before you ever get desperate enough to hear from God. You think we take the easy road and just stick with God, but we know time and time again, man, we just watch Israel's life. They'll serve God when it's good, and all of a sudden something gets bad, and they're gone. going to this idol, going to this God, going to this God, and then God will have to allow the enemy to come in to drive them right back. And people wonder why people get sick, people get depressed, people get backslid. It's because you're doing something that's not pleasing to God most times.
Amen.
We suffer affliction just because God wants to test us. I understand that. But I can't help but in my life know too many times I've suffered because of my own accord. I suffer because I'm the one that decided I was going to snap off and didn't make it right away and let that thing build until I had an accomplice in my head against this brother, against this sister that was ruining my experience with God.
Sure.
And you know what God allowed happen? That old protection that kept me away, he just got to come right in. Not because God hates us, but because God loves us. Because you know what will get you praying? You ever had this happen before? You ain't praying like you should be and all of a sudden you get super sick, you can't do nothing. Guess what? You got one choice. Lay there and pray. That ever happened to anybody else? That's happened to me when I was sitting there going, oh, thank you, Lord. You get right back in fellowship with God, and here it comes. The oppression comes back off, and that's what God wants. Every time Israel would just put their heart into worshiping God, they weren't flawless by any means. He knew that. He knew they'd make mistakes, but if they put their heart into following what God had said, God blessed them. God kept them. Their wells overflowed. They had plenty of abundance. The fields were just full. But the second they turn their backs on God, all of a sudden, where's the rain?
Right.
Anybody know about the history of Israel before Israel or before the Jews got sent back there? It was a barren wasteland. Nobody wanted anything to do with it.
That's right.
How come all of a sudden when God's people came back, it blossomed forth, and now per like acre, I think it's the best in the world.
Yeah.
Why? Because God already said it. Remember when God says something, it's going to happen. He said, "You're blessed. You're my people. If you'll follow after me with all your heart." Remember, it's in there in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses is trying to bless him. He says, if you'll just follow this, you'll have this. You'll have this. You'll come in and go out. You'll be blessed everywhere you go. Your children will be blessed. Your fields blessed. Everything's blessed.
Right.
And the Christians got so much more than that in this day that if you can recognize that you're not in just a promised land, you're in the promised man.
Yeah.
You're in Jesus Christ. And that he was already accepted when he came on earth.
Yeah.
Look, he took the sins of the world upon himself.
Amen.
None of us could do that because we were all in the prison house. I can't get you out if I'm locked in the cell next to you. We can dream, we can talk about it, but really we're just going to look at each other and realize we're both in prison. But there came a man who had the keys.
Amen.
Isn't that right? And instead of just, just wiping it clean, he's a just God now. He knew he had to take our place. Somebody had to die because God already said the day you sin, that day you die. Death had to come. So he said, I know. You know what? I know none of them can do it. I'll do it. And who could have been holy enough besides God himself? Because it couldn't just be an angel. Remember, it had to be a kinsman. It had to be somebody that was born like us. Somebody that was raised like us. Somebody that was a little baby and had to learn things and grow like we did.
Sure.
And he willingly walked to the cross, as we know. Nobody forced him. He did it from a bond of love.
Amen.
And there's never a love that's ever come like that man.
Right.
That man went up to the cross. He knew what he was doing.
Sure.
Remember, the Spirit left him in the garden, as Brother Bram said, and he went without. He wasn't a Superman. He was a man like you and I. Why do you think he was praying, God, if there's a way, Father, if there's some way, take this cup from me. Nevertheless.
Amen.
But thine be done. And what does the Bible say? What did the Bible say? I believe the Lord came. Because it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. I wonder when those angels came and strengthened him, if they didn't show him glory land.
Amen.
He said, oh my. Are those all my children being happy? Are those all my children being joyful? Those all my children that never have to hear another bad thing, never have another bad thought, never be depressed again, never be sad, never shed another tear. Is that them?
Amen.
This is all I got to do? And all of a sudden, the cross became such a little thing compared to what it was going to be afterwards. And if you'll do the same and get out of Laodicea and looking around, oh, if I get a new car, if I get this new house, or I get a new suit and all, then my life will be full. Don't get your eyes off all that. It's all foolishness. It'll perish. Get your eyes on the new land.
Amen.
And you realize that there's nothing else to live for.
Sure.
Oh, I don't believe in just going crazy and just acting like a big weirdo because you're a Christian, but you should automatically be different. Because everybody else is heading one way. And I hate to say that, but we know the Bible already done said that. The way to life is straight and narrow.
Amen.
And the way to destruction is big and wide. That's just the truth of the matter. And for any Christian, yeah, it breaks your heart when you begin to think of it. Do we rub shoulders with those people all the time?
Sure do.
How hard would it have been for Jesus? How many know Jesus was betrayed by Judas? And Judas was one of his 12 that he picked out. And he always rubbed shoulders with them. They went in the ministry together. He was with them 3.5 years. And the Bible said the whole time he knew he's going to betray me. Didn't treat him any different. He loved him anyways. Rich young ruler that came up, he knew what the rich young ruler wanted. He just wanted a nice, easy street way into heaven. He said, you got to sell everything you had. He knew he'd reject what he had to say. But the Bible still said Jesus looked at that young man and he loved him. There's no character like Christ. And I hate how it gets presented, don't you? Jesus just this big old bully. I'm the only way. No, it's not that he's trying to be the only way. It's just a matter of fact. He's the only way.
Right.
Not getting anywhere, are we? The Bible said that Samson was called from before he got here. He will deliver you from the Philistines. And he will be a Nazarite, as we just read there. It means he let his hair grow. He'd be devoted unto God his whole life. And it didn't matter what happened. He had to deliver the Philistines because God already said he would.
Right.
Even Moses, remember, he was born the deliverer. He knew it. And even when he failed in his own commission, he couldn't have failed at the end. God made a way and brought him right back where he needed him to be. It all worked together just perfect. And if you can take your life and put it completely on God's potter wheel and let him mold it and make it, you'll realize that everything has a purpose. Everything's working all together for your good.
Amen.
But if you got your hands on your life, if you've got it molded your way, first you're not going to mold it right. You're going to fix things that you realize you're breaking the whole thing. You know what God will have to do the second you take your hands off? He will smash you and break you and start you anew. And I'm glad he did it to me. I'm glad when I was religious for a good 2 years trying to be a Christian, not being born again, that he took me and made me die to everything I thought I was. I wasn't good. I was filth. I don't care if I went to church. I don't care if I paid tithe. I don't care if I said amen. I was a hypocrite. Because any man that's not born of the Spirit of God is a hypocrite.
Sure.
Because every man has a conscience. Every man knows right and wrong. And until a man gets in fellowship with God, he can never do the right thing. He'll always go the wrong path. And that's what happened to Samson. But before I get to that, I want to talk about why did Paul put Samson in the faith chapter? Because you find me a man with this kind of faith in 2014. Okay. Whoo, my. Let's just read a few examples. That's all right. Go to Judges 14 here. And I'm just going to hit some highlights. You can go read 13 all the way to 16 to get the whole Samson story. But he already had a supernatural birth. He was already supernaturally commissioned that he would deliver the Philistines. And look at how he would deliver Israel from the Philistines. And look at how much faith he had in that. Judges 14:5 says this. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And most of us, what would we have done? Whoo, we're gone. It hightailed. Where's the nearest tree? Where's the nearest whatever? I'm getting out of this place. But not a man that's called a God. He ain't afraid of anything. A man that was ordained by God, a man, as we'll read here in the next verse, said the Spirit was mightily upon him. Look, the Spirit made the lion. The Spirit ain't afraid of the lion.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit brooded the whole earth, and that's how everything got here. He ain't afraid of his own creation.
Right.
And if you read the next verse, he says this, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. And if you're living in the realms of reasoning, you would say there's no mortal man that can take a lion and he tore it to pieces with his hands. Anybody seen that kind of faith? It goes to show, Samson knew who he was.
Amen.
If you read the verse before that, he was trying to take some Philistine wine. As we know what Brother Bram said, he said, Samson dedicated his strength to God. He didn't give his heart to God, though. So God could only use him so far. But look at how much faith he had in what he was. Samson wasn't some big, burly man either. He was a little shrimp mama's boy. Remember, he's got them 7 curly hairs just flowing down. You'd have looked at him and said, now that's why the Philistines, you watch them time and time again, they go to fight him, because I guarantee they looked at him and said, there's no way. No way, look at that little shrimp.
How can he take on me? I'm big, 7 foot, 300 pound. I got armor on. I got a sword. I got a shield. How can he beat me?
What?
But a man that can take a lion and rend him to pieces with his own hands, you think he's afraid of a human? No. If there's any of us, I know a lion will tear me to pieces a lot faster than a human ever could.
Right.
And he just tore it with his bare hands. Hey, can you visualize that for a minute? Roaring lion coming after you. And this man, I mean, I can imagine him maybe wrestling it down or something. No, he just tore it to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, later the lion's dead. And you're not supposed to eat out of it, but there was a beehive that came in it, and he scooped the honey out of the carcass and ate it. Gave it to his parents, too. Didn't tell him about it. Goes to show, didn't quite give his heart just yet because he wouldn't follow the word like he was supposed to. Later in this chapter, I'm just going to paraphrase some of this. I don't want to spend a lot of time. Samson, you know, the lion's dead and the honey's in there, and he comes up with this cool riddle because he's out with his, I think it was his wife at the time, and they're all with the Philistines. And he's just hanging around the Philistines. Shouldn't have been nowhere to do with those people. Yet he's, as we said before, he didn't give his heart to the Lord just yet. He gave his strength. So he's sitting right there in the middle of the camp. But look, not a bit afraid. See that faith moving there? Sitting there, not a bit afraid of anything. He gives a riddle, and we could read the riddle, but something to do with what's stronger than, I wish I could remember where that's at. But anyways, he said, if you get this riddle right, I'll give you 30 pieces of clothing, and if you get it right, you give it to me. He said he gives them the riddle. And they try and try and try, and they fail and fail and fail, and finally they go after his wife. And now what Satan likes to do, go after the woman. Isn't that just right? When it was Adam and Eve in the garden, you don't see a serpent coming after Adam. He went after Eve. You watch in the church, that's what he does. He comes after the church. He thinks you're innocent. But if you can stay with Papa God right behind you, he can't do nothing to you.
Amen.
And Eve would have been just fine if she would have stuck with Adam. She got a little away. And here's this backslidden woman that he shouldn't have had nothing to do with, part of the heathen land. And they eventually talk her into talking Samson, tell him the riddle. So Samson tells her the riddle. She tells them the riddle. They get it right. Samson, true to his words, is fine. He didn't have 30 pieces. He was bluffing out of his mouth, we'll say like that. He didn't have, you know, if he'd have bet $5, he didn't have it. He was just expecting to win. But Samson didn't get all worried about it because he knew who he was. You know what it says he did? It said he went to the town and he killed 30 men and took their stuff.
Uh-huh.
And came back and said, here you go. Wasn't afraid to pay his taxes, was he? Even if he had to kill to do it. Later on, let's just go to that story. Go to Judges 15 with me. We'll read a fair portion of this. Judges 15 says this, but it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. What's he upset about? His wife's father just took his wife because he was gone for whatever amount of time and gave her to his buddy. And then he tries to appease him with his other wife and says, oh, no, we ain't going to deal with this. And most of us would have, I don't know if I'd have come up with this strategy, but this is another one of the things I would not have believed a man could do if it wasn't written down in the Bible. Verse 4 says this, and Samson went and caught 300 foxes. I don't know what cage he got set up to keep them all in there, but he got 300 foxes. But again, a man that stared a lion down and was able to rip him to pieces. And remember, foxes aren't nice little cuddly things like you see in Fox and the Hound and stuff. That's not a fox. A fox will tear your hand off. And he just took 300 foxes. But again, if I wasn't afraid of a lion, I don't think I'd be afraid of a fox either. He got all 300 of them. Oh, I love this. And took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and all the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. What did that look like? Could you imagine a line of 300 foxes all on fire running through a field and everything's in flames? Guess what? If that was your field, you'd be a little upset. You're ready to figure out who this was. And Samson knew that they would come after him.
Sure.
You see his faith? He wasn't afraid, though. Now look, don't look at his backslidden condition. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about his faith and his commission.
Right.
Look at how much faith he had in who he was. Next verse. Then the Philistine said, "Who hath done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion." And the Philistines came and burnt her and her father with fire. And you think most of us would be appeased at that point, that they had done him this thing, and the Philistines went and killed him for him. But that's not Samson. He wasn't done yet. And Samson said unto them, "Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease." And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Elim. Now look, if you went down to Detroit and took out the whole city, I think it'd spread around a little bit. I think you'd get some relatives stirred up and they're coming after you.
Sure.
And again, Samson knew this. Not a lick afraid, was he? Did it anyways. And it says he went to, Edom. He went up, we'll just read it. It's just easier than me paraphrasing. Verse 9, "Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, 'Why are you come out against us?' And they answered, 'To bind Samson are we come up, and to do him as he had done to us.' Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson," could you imagine 3,000 people so scared? Because now look, these are Israelites. These are the people that should be backing him up because he was sent to deliver them. They're so backslid, they don't want nothing to do with Samson. Walks into 1965 all the way up to this time. They think that what's their enemy, or what's really for their good, is their enemy. This time, here's Israel. So much in a backslidden state, they can't even recognize their own deliverer.
Right.
And he's already got the Philistines all mad. That whole country, 3,000 Jews, come up to him and say, whoa. You see those Philistines over there? Where are their servants? What are you doing around here? Whoa, we have cold formal services. God don't move like that no more. What are you doing casting out devils? What are you doing telling people to get right with God and to quit sinning and kick out the filthiness, and women to stop cutting their hair and to dress like ladies, and men to shape up and quit the dirty jokes and cussing? What are you doing saying all that? Just tell them God loves them. Philistines rule around this place. Guess what? They sure were, weren't they? It goes to show those heart of those people, no matter what they said, their lives were proving what they were.
Right, yeah.
They might have been able to show that they were Israelites by the flesh, but they weren't by the heart. Because they saw their own deliverance and they turned it down.
Right.
Let's read that now. Verse 10. "And the men of Judah said, 'Why are you come up to us?' And they answered, 'To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us.' Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, 'Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?' And he said unto them, 'As they did unto me, so have I done unto them.' And they said unto him, 'We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines.'" They're turning on their own deliverer. Not just rejecting him, but they were actually going to bind him and throw him to the enemy.
Right.
Because they didn't want nothing to do with it. And they'll do it to any man of God.
Sure.
Verse 12 there at the end. "And Samson said unto them, 'Swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves.' And they spake unto him, saying, 'No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee.' And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock." So here's Samson. Just imagine. Now remember, we're talking about the faith of Samson, and this is why Paul made mention of him. He's standing. He's got his whole own nation against him, and he's got all the Philistines against him. His people just bound him to the top of a rock for him to stand for dead, and they want him dead. What would you and I have thought without faith? It's over. The people I was sent to save, I can't do it.
Sure.
Not Samson. He knew. Mama done told me what the angel said.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to deliver them from the hands of the Philistines, whether they want to be delivered or not. Right. And aren't you glad, even when you were in sin and you thought, "Oh, I'm happy with this," that something on the inside would not let you be content.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Somebody came and saved you anyways and brought you out of the fire.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Verse 14. "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, but something happened. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him." And when you feel that, oh my, doesn't everything else, fear just gone.
Yeah.
Fear's just out of there. Temptation, any sort of depression, anything. When the anointing comes, when the Spirit mightily came upon him. I just got to read it. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. Means it might as well have been just a shoelace. And his bands loose from off his hands. And he found, look at this, he's got nothing. He don't have a sword. He don't have armor. He's standing all by himself. Everybody's turned his back on him. But he looks on the ground, and the Bible says the jawbone of an ass. And what is an ass in the Bible? It's a donkey. He found one old little brittle bone. But guess what? He wasn't trusting the bone. He's trusting what was on him. He's trusting the Spirit of God that was not even just on him, but mightily upon him. And he said, well, looked around. That's all I got. But God, you brought me here. And some of us don't want to use the jawbone, do we? We said, Lord, I thought you loved me. Where's the sword? I thought you loved me. Where's the nuke? I thought you loved me. Where's my tank? We, you know, we got our own standard for what God needs to give us. And it's sitting right there. I don't care what it looks like. If it's the word, if it's foolish, guess what? It'll work anyways.
Amen.
Say, what? I got cancer and I'm going to die. And the doctor wants me to take this leukemia that's supposed to kill me more than anything. And I'm going to trust that. Whoa. And I'm just going to come over here and just get hands laid on me? Just a jawbone? What about that rocket ship over there? Or the missile launcher? Why can't I use that? Faith don't work in the realms of reason. They're complete opposite forces.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it. And watch this. And slew 1,000 men therewith. These weren't just any men. These were the Philistines. These were men that were armored, trained, sword, shield, spears, everything. And I guarantee what happened. When you fight, somebody's got to be brave enough to finally go up there. Now, I'm sure they all had in their head, oh my, we know this guy. He's killed lions. He's killed other Philistines. He's done, and they kind of been timid. But again, if you go on in the realms of reason, they look at him and say, there's no way I can take him. And now what Goliath thought, looking at David over there, little scrawny old David, and here's Goliath, who's taller than probably this ceiling. Come on, bring it. To the point where he said, I'll take my spear and I'll shove it right through you and I'll feed you to the birds. Look at the man of God, though. He didn't carry it and listen nothing to that. David said, no, I'm taking your head off today. My son actually knows that part of the story because I found a little Bible clip, and they actually, it said, it had a warning though, it said biblically accurate. And they were true about it, because after he knocked down, remember Goliath fell down forward, he took Goliath's sword and he took his head off and fulfilled exactly what God told him to say. And he picked that head up and looked around and said, he's done, let's take him.
Amen.
Here's Samson standing there. He just slew 1,000 men. And he says it, if you read the next verse, it said, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And I'm sure he was a little tired after a while. Just swinging 1,000 times, I think I'd be tired. Goes to show it wasn't Samson's strength doing this anyhow. It was the Spirit of the Lord upon him. Just to go fast, I don't want to spend too much more time. But later, and you'll find that they trap Samson. He gets wrapped up with Delilah. Actually, I think it was a harlot first, but whatever. A heathen woman's a heathen woman. And he gets wrapped up with this woman. And the Philistines think they have him trapped in, but he wakes up in the middle of the night, looks around, goes, guess I'm trapped. Well, there's the only way out. It's a big old gate. The Bible says he picked the gate up, he put it up on his shoulders, walked it all the way to the top of the mountain. I think that was a couple miles, actually. He took the big gate and just laid it down. That's a man who knew where he was.
Amen.
That's a man who knew who he was. And Jesus was the same when he stood on the cross and devils were all around him, thought they had him trapped in. When they killed him, they didn't know what just happened.
Right.
But he went down to hell. He found, can't go nowhere else. We'll go right for the gates.
Right.
For the gates. Take them. I'll go put these back on Mount Calvary and destroy them in my blood. That's gone.
Sure.
He set us all free.
Amen.
Abraham was sitting there waiting for him, heard the knock. Hey, there's no gate out there no more, guys. We can go.
Uh-huh.
And that what you felt like when you met Christ?
Oh, yeah.
All those boundary lines, it's like, my, I just can't get in. There's just the enemy on every way. And the only way out's right there.
And you find out, oh, that's just the gate of repentance. That's just the gate of repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sins, you shall receive the gift. That's all it is.
Right?
Let the Spirit come highly upon you one time, though, and wash those gates. Just hop on your back, and you can go put them anywhere you want to. That's the kind of deliverance I'm talking about. That's the kind of faith that the Church of the Living God is supposed to have. That's why Samson's name was mentioned, because when he saw a lion, he didn't worry about it. When he saw a whole thousand Philistines, he didn't worry about it. When he saw everybody that was supposed to be on his side turn his back on him, he didn't worry about it. When they thought they had him trapped in, he didn't worry about it. He just took the deliverance and delivered.
Amen.
Well, what happened? We know Samson got Philae with a little too far. He tempted. He had been flirting with Satan for too long. And you might do something wrong. I'm going to say this real honest with all of us. You might do something wrong. And God will give you time to see what you're going to do about it. And I believe every time God was just saying, all right, Samson, what are you going to do this time? Made the same mistake. He said, okay, I'll give you another chance. Made the same mistake. This woman, until it got to the light, he said, okay, there's nothing I can do now. You have your way, Samson. And you know what? That's what's happened to every single sinner that's ever hit this world. It ain't God's fault they go to hell. It ain't God's fault they die in bad ways and things like this. He warned them here. They ignored him. He tried it again. They ignored him. He tried it and tried it and tried it. And God is patient. He is long-suffering, but he's not ever suffering. It ends. And Samson met his day where he had to reap what he had sown. And the Philistines, remember, what were so easy for him to overcome so many times, he progressively gave away his secret. If you ever watch. Delilah starts, you remember, they're in the bed and she's sitting there egging on him. Oh, just tell me where your strength lies. We know it's supernatural. Where does it lie in? And he gives them a bunch of excuses. Tie me this way, tie me that way, do this, do that. If you watch, it took, I think it was four times before he finally gave away his real secret. That I'm a Nazarite. Because remember, they tried to tie him up and he just break it like every time. Because what'd she say? Philistines upon you, Samson. He said, do like every other time. Because he had faith now. He wasn't bluffing either. He had faith. Pulled it right off. Remember, that faith was tied into the promise that he received when he was born. He must be a Nazarite.
Right.
It was all linked to that covenant of him being a Nazarite. So the day that he told Delilah, I've never cut my hair. If you cut my hair, I'll be as weak as any man. Remember, this wasn't an overnight thing either. The devil don't just boo right in your face. Progressive, he just ekes his way into your life. One little step up. Oh, just try this. Just look at this. Look at this. And before you know it,
sure.
Send you off the deep end. And they talked him into it. Samson, she cut his hair off in the middle of the night. She said the same thing. Philistines be upon you, Samson. You know what the Bible says? He got up, supposing like any other time, he'd do it again.
Right.
But this time, the Spirit wasn't on him. And he got into such a condition, he didn't even recognize it until it was too late. Let me read a quote from the Deceived Church. I highly recommend you go read that sermon. It's 59, Deceived Church. Or Church Deceived by the World. Brother Rand says this. Samson, great deal like the church, started off right. He started off in the right direction. He started off and was called a mighty man of valor. And he started off serving the Lord and keeping his word and doing his commandments. And that was somewhat like the church. It started off on. And as we would say, as a worldly expression, started on the right foot. Started to keep the commandments of the Lord. And as long as Samson followed the Lord used Samson. For God can keep anybody and use anybody that will follow after him, for it's God's business. But when we turn aside from the things of God, then God cannot use us any longer. When we'll walk steadfastly after the commandments of God, when we'll stay in the pages of the Bible and worship him by the written word, worship him in spirit and in truth of the word, then God can use any individual. But when they take a notion to turn aside after something else, then God cannot use that person any longer. Remember, I'm going to keep reading now. Remember, we are not on a picnic, but we're in a battlefield. Many people just think that when they become a Christian, that's all they need to do. That settles it forever. If they're a Christian, everything's just going to come easy. Don't never get that in your head.
For I became a Christian to fight the good fight of faith. I became a Christian to get in the battle lines. We are Christian soldiers, and we got to be trained and brought up and know all the techniques of the enemy to know how to fortify, to know how to fight the fight. And we can only do that as the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us.
Amen.
God's never changed it. He always wanted man to completely, unreservedly depend on Him. And as long as Samson did that, as long as Samson followed his Nazarite vow, as long as Samson would get anointed by the Spirit, he always delivered Israel. Not one Philistine, not one lion, not one fox, not anything could stand before him. But the second he turned his back on the word, he lost it all.
Amen.
And the church has done the same thing. God took Catholic Church, as we know, was the first one to leave the word. He started a reformation in Luther. Then Luther told his little lie and thought he'd get by with it. Isn't that right? So it came to another temptation. Here come Wesley. A little bit more of it. And they came the day when they needed to denominate. He said, the still seems to be upon me. And they let go of the word. But it still seemed okay, didn't it? Seemed like it'd just go on. Like, oh, God didn't see that. Oh, yes, he did.
Sure.
All the way to the Pentecostals, where you thought you had it. And you thought, and Samson probably was convinced he could do anything he wanted by this time.
Sure.
But there came a day when he sold out and it was over.
Uh-huh.
And this whole world universal now will do that. You see this council of churches that's supposed to be bringing the whole world together. You watch everybody getting right behind the Pope. Oh yeah, let's go. You better beware of that thing. It's the last time. And they'll sell out everything, thinking that they can get away with it. But it'll come to naught. What happened to Samson after that? The Bible says right away they bound him and they burned his eyes out. Goes to show, if you leave the word of God, eventually you'll lose your sight to where nobody can tell you what's right or wrong anymore because you can't see. You know what a man that's blind does? He goes by his feelings. And if you got to feel this to know God's there, or you got to feel this and feel it, that's not a Christian. A Christian's got sight. The Bible says that the blind lead the blind to the ditch. Look, if I got sight and you're blind, I ain't falling off the ditch. I can see.
Right.
Samson was blind. And what did they do with Samson? They put him in the old grind mill where they'd have to walk around like this, just pushing. It would just be doing the feed there. And he did it for so long. The Bible says that his hair began to grow back. One day the Philistines thought they, you know, I bet by this time, it probably was years. I mean, how long do you think it'd take a man to grow his hair all the way back? By this time the Philistines, in general, I forgot about it. Because they got bored one day. They said, what do you guys want to do? Somebody said, remember Samson? Remember that guy that caused us all that trouble? Oh, he's harmless. Let's go get him and make him play sport for us. So they threw Samson out there. And he had to, who knows what he had to do, but he had to do some things. And when it was all done, he asked the lad, I believe it was a little lad boy, he says, hey, go put me by the pillars of this whole Colosseum here, this whole temple that I'm at. And he stood between two pillars. Now listen closely. And I believe that Samson finally hit rock bottom. A man that had lived so high so long, it took a while for him to realize what had just happened. And after he had went so long without the presence of God, he realized, I can't live like this any longer.
Right.
Remember, he's blind now. He's holding his hands on the pillar. He said the right thing. He said, once more, Lord. Just once more. This is all I need. Maybe tonight you'll once more. Maybe you've been back so far. You just need, but look, you need one day. One day with God will get results. 1,000 days with men don't mean anything. 1,000 days in church don't mean anything. But one day with God will change your life.
Yeah.
And he stood there. And he said, once more, Lord, let me be avenged of the Philistines. You see what he was doing? He was going back to his commission.
Yeah.
He was going back to what God had called him to do. As Brother Branham said, when he stood there in his head, I believe he felt the covenant again. He could feel the hair back here. He goes, I'm following the word. God will honor me again. And that faith that he always had became active again.
Sure.
And he did exactly what the word said. And who would have thought that would have been the way he did it? He didn't have to do it that way. But because Samson chose it. You just love that? Samson made the wrong decision, and God still brought it around and did exactly what he wanted him to do.
And he stood there, this Colosseum full of people up top, bottom, everywhere. And he says, he pushed the pillars. And actually, I forgot a part. He said, let me die with the Philistines. What does that show you? He was sold out. He was done. He wasn't holding nothing back. And if you hold any part of your heart back when you're supposed to be giving your heart to God, and you give him 90%, you give him 95%, you know, but I'm going to skip church to do this, or I'm going to watch this thing that I know I shouldn't be because I can't give it up, or I'm going to do, if you leave that little bit there, God would have never honored Samson if he wouldn't have said he was willing to die. And he said, let me die with the Philistines. The Bible says God honored him, and the strength that he had came back, and he pushed the pillars, and everything fell down, and he died with him. And the Bible says he killed more at his death than in all of his lifetime. So there was at least 1,000. I would say there was multiple thousands there. Look at the victory that can happen. Look at the condition he was in. The worst condition he could ask for. Backslid beyond belief. His eyes plucked out. He's standing by himself. He just had to play sport. But faith began to rise up again. When you're walking in the Word, now look, listen to me. And it doesn't matter what's going on around you. If you'll just do what the Word says now. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't try to fix the last 10 years. Do what the Word says now. And watch God come on the scene. Watch God come and give you that anointing that you always had before. And I get so tired of Christians that don't realize the anointing never leaves you. It abides.
Amen.
You're the one that gets out of care. You're the one who can't see it no more. You're the one who let the Philistines pluck your eyes out. It wasn't God left you. You left him. As Brother Graham said about the Holy Spirit, he's just a dove. And you grieve him. Look, he's not gone. I wish Christians quit doing that. Quit getting saved one day, lost the next. Saved the next day, lost the next. Grieved him here, I'm done for. Oh, had a good service, I'm saved. You can be deceived both ways by that.
Sure.
Plenty of people have talked themselves into being saved that ain't. Plenty of people have talked themselves into being lost that ain't.
Yeah.
And instead of realizing that, you think, oh, I did something wrong, and you feel that grieving. Look, that's good. Because now you can make it right.
Amen.
And the Lord can come back. Why does God hate sin? Because it keeps his children from him.
Amen.
Why does he hate sin in your and my life? Because he knows it's destroying us.
Right.
The pleasures of sin are only a season. They run out. And then you have death. They tried to bind Samson time and time again. You know what Brother Brandt said those cords were? He says the denominational cord. And every time he looked like he got out, he gets stuck back in. He looked like he got out, got stuck back in. And isn't that what the church has done? You thought when Lucifer came on the scene, yes, we're going to be done with this Catholic. We're going to move on. And look what happened. They denominated and they headed right back where they came from. To where you go to a Catholic church, you go to a Lutheran church, you probably won't even notice the difference anymore. You might have a collar on, one might have a tie, but they'll do the same things. Then we thought, oh my, the Methodists came on the scene. This is it. And they bound themselves, denominated as well. Pentecost the same. And any church will do the same, even to where if you can be a one-man denomination. If you will just box yourself in and say, this is what I believe. And when the Word comes to correct you, you turn it down. If you take your Nazarite vow and you say, no, I think it's a little bit different. I think I can trim my hair a little bit, sisters. Yes. Did you hear me tonight? That's right. No, sir. If the Bible says don't cut your hair, don't touch the thing. People want to fight head and toe about that. The Bible says have long hair. If you look up the word long hair, it means let the hair grow. How do you trim hair and let it grow at the same time? It doesn't make any sense. I want to read a quote here. I'll wrap up soon. You okay tonight, everybody?
Yeah.
Everybody hearing from God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Let me read this last quote here, Deceive Church 59 again. The Philistines is on thee, but the one blessed hope we have, while Samson was in jail, what's the first thing they done when they caught him? They bound him first. They took his power away. They found his secret. They found your secret. The world found your secret. Now you women all bob your hair. Listen now. He's talking about those that give away their secret like Samson did. You women bob your hair. It goes like the world. You men all go and act like the world. It's all right. Tell jokes and dirty jokes and go out and smoke a few cigarettes and run out with the neighbor's wives and everything else like that. A little sociable drink to hold your job. I'd rather lay on my belly, eat soda crackers, and drink branch water and stay clean and pure before God than to compromise for any kind of a job. That's right. True. Stay true to God.
Samson, the Philistines is on thee. Branham Tabernacle, look, he's talking about his own church now. And I'll say it right here, Truth Tabernacle. Look, it's just as true for any group. I don't care who you are. You ain't no better than nobody else. But for the grace of God, we'd all just head straight to hell. Branham Tabernacle, worldlyism is creeping in among you. What about it? Have you exposed your secret? Have you exposed that secret that God gave you when you were wallowing there in the sawdust a few years ago? Have you let it creep out by social formal worship? Can we preach on that a little while? What does the power of God lead for? Because they're formal worship, they're social worship. What's social worship? We all kind of get together. We do this as a group. We're all being, oh yeah, yeah. We raise our hands. And no, that's not what God wants. Worship comes from the heart.
Amen.
And you have to get into the channel. Don't worship God as a group. You have to worship Him as an individual.
Amen.
You have to see God for yourself. And when you close your eyes, you're not seeing the people around you. You don't care. That's why you close your eyes when you worship, because you're not looking at anything else at that point. You have to look at Him.
Amen.
You look at Him and you begin to raise your hands and realize, nobody's got to tell me to raise my hands. I'm not raising them to you. I'm not doing it socially. I'm not doing it as a form. That's what formal means, a form of worship. No, sir. Whatever God tells you to do, you do it.
Yeah. Amen.
Some people, when the Spirit comes, yeah, they break down and cry and they sigh. Some people speak in tongues. Some run the aisles. Some laugh and get joy. Some raise their hands. Some flail them around. Some do cartwheels. It doesn't matter if it's to God.
Right.
Nobody worships God doing this.
What?
Oh, the clock's been good. Sorry. If you're worried about 5 minutes up here, you better start thinking about the time you're going to have to spend in hell.
Sure.
I don't think 5 minutes matters a whole lot, does it?
No.
To think, such a monumental decision is in our hands. And it's just in this fleeting amount of time.
Uh-huh.
You determine your own eternal destination. Let me keep reading there. It says, have you let it creep out by a social form of worship? What's happened to you? God, listen closely to this. God can come down and perform a miracle and go right down through the audience and tell the people the secrets of their hearts and everything and heal the sick and afflict and do signs and wonders and preach His word as hard as they can by the Holy Ghost. And people say, well, I guess that's all right. We enjoy listening to it once in a while if you're not too tired. That's Branham Tabernacle.
See, we want to put it on the Methodist. We want to put it on the Baptist. We want to put it on the Catholic, you know, the Lutheran and everybody else. Just say, oh, it's them, it's them, it's them. It's creeping right in here. Look, we already just said that. Israel was done back a long time ago, but eventually Satan got into Samson himself.
Right.
When the preaching of the word, the old saints would tear in the eyes, would rise to their feet and walk, sobbing, maybe not even say a word, just walking around two or three times and sat down, so filled with the Holy Ghost. The Word would feed them. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Philistines is upon thee. Can I say, Truth Tabernacle, the Philistines is you, Pentecostals. Of course, the Philistines got you, rest of you, long time ago when you organized yourself so tight. Nothing could come in unless you was a Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, or something. You wouldn't have nothing to do with the rest of them. So revival in our day, how can we have it when the regular revival giver is bound by the world? People want revival, but if you have Satan in your midst, God will not bless what He has cursed.
Amen.
He's the Holy Ghost, not an unholy ghost. God won't come in where the world is. You can just depend on that. You associate with the world, then it's all of it. When you let the world creep in, you go to acting like the world, then you are finished. But when you'll cut loose every fetter, I hope we're cutting loose tonight. When you cut loose every fetter from the world and come to God, God will use you until you go to Fortin again.
Amen.
Here's the only hope that I have this morning to wind up this message is this. While Samson was bound, a new shock of hair growed out. God, send us another church just before the end time that the power of the Holy Ghost can come into her and the demonstration of the Spirit. And Mark 16 can follow the church. Acts 2:4, Acts 2:38. All of it will be falling right along with the church. Signs and wonders accompanied the apostles. Great signs of His resurrection accompanied them. While we're in prison, surely God's growing a crop somewhere.
Amen.
For the last great kill.
Amen.
Yes. May it be you, my Christian friend, here this morning. May it be your strength has begun to grow. I pray that this message, he says this morning, and I'll say this evening, and out in the land to where this will go, I trust that this message will help bring the vitamin to your system that will grow spiritual power back into your life again.
Amen.
Stand together tonight. Till Jesus comes, it's still true. The Philistines are on me, Samson. Satan was loosed out of his prison. We understand the thousand demons, whatever that's how that scripture goes. He said they were loosed for a season. And Brother Branham said they were sent to one group to come after the bride of Christ. Not to destroy us, but to mold us and to make us. And they're upon us whether you want it or not. And if you can know that you're entertaining that demon power, what could it be? Anything contrary to the word. Anything that's contrary to God's word is the devil. Period.
Right.
When God, as we just said about the women, if God told you not to cut your hair, something tells you you should for whatever reason. Lots of love. It can be any kind of reasoning God can come or the devil can come up with. God already said in his word the way it's supposed to be. You stick with it. When the Bible told women to wear modest apparel, don't you go flirting with the world. If it's tied it off, it's revealing it all, you throw that away. Don't flirt with it, Samson. Stay with your word. We've talked about cussing and those little, you know, substitute cuss words. Look, that stuff's wrong. Get it out, Samson.
Amen.
Don't be flirting with Delilah. Don't be flirting with the Philistine women. Stay over here in the camp where you ought to be. I know it's hard. I know it was hard for Samson. How hard would it have been for you to stand on a hill and everybody's against you and you have to stand alone? Guess what? Welcome to Christianity.
Amen.
You have to stand alone. The Bible said everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And he already shook the earth once, but this time he says, I shake heaven also. To where anything that you might trust in outside of Christ will fall and crumble before your eyes.
Sure.
It will be just like Samson, where when he thought he could destroy the enemy, all of a sudden he can't do anything and he's blind. The Philistines are on you, Samson. What will you do with your covenant? What is our covenant with God? It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the covenant to the church today. And as we bow our heads together, every heart reverence before God, I pray that you're spiritual enough to know that he steps in the building. No looking around, no disrespect. He'll fly right off out of here in no time. Respect God and respect one another. If there's one person here who knows you've been flirting with the devil too long and he's got you bound, I don't care what it is. I'm not looking at it. He's looking at it. And you'll be honest with your heart and say, God, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Just once more, Lord, may I feel the anointing on me like I did before. Is there any person here that would raise your hands to God and say, God, that's me. Change my heart. Change my life right now. Don't let me worry about anything else. Don't lie to yourself. Just be honest with God. God will come and meet you just like he did Samson when it looked like it was all done. Your life might look like it's all done. Your Christian experience might look like it's all done. But if you'll just give it to God this last time, once more, he'll let the power of God come back into your life. If you allowed any influence, I don't care what, if it's social, if it's formality, if it's the things of the world, if it's your buddy that you're afraid to offend and things like that, just let it die. Let it all die right now. Let's just give it all to him. You don't have to wait for me to pray. I don't have nothing to do with it anyways. What's your confession to him? What will you say, Samson? What faith do you have left in the condition you've put yourself in? You have faith to believe that he knew you were going to do that? You have faith to believe that he'll forgive you if you'll just confess it? You have faith to know that his blood already atoned for you and all you have to do is accept it and he'll come right back in your heart? And you can feel all that lift away. If there's anyone else that wants to raise their knee to the Lord, I want to give you time to do that. You defy gravity when you raise your hands against what's pulling them down. I got my hands raised too. I'm not no hypocrite. I know there's things. God, have mercy on my soul. Help me, Lord, to be a real Christian. Let's pray together. You pray with all your heart your own way. Heavenly Father, I pray you help us, Lord. Lord, as we've studied about Samson, the great faith he had, I pray you help us to not let Satan trickle his way in and destroy all that you build up, Lord. You sent us this word in this day to fortify us behind your promise that, Lord, we could be just like Samson. That when the Philistines are all around, when every devil in hell is
unleashed against us, there's a gate of the Holy Ghost protecting us. And he can't get in. Oh God, I pray for this people tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. May each person walk out with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and their soul be changed from death unto life, born again of the Spirit of God, that no matter what Satan might do from this day forward, they would know that they're part of the kingdom of God and Satan can do nothing against them. God, raise the faith of the people. Even if it's not salvation, if it's healing, if it's joy, if it's love, if there's any need that the people don't have, I pray that faith would rise and they would see that you ordained us before we were born to be the church of the living God and that nothing will stand against us. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Samson took back to that promise. When God told Abraham that your seed shall possess the gates of the enemy, and he wasn't afraid to pick those gates up and walk right up the hill. The same God said to us that no weapon formed against us can prosper. And as we yield ourselves to the Spirit, look, we're expecting God to do great things. And the greatest thing that could ever happen to a man is salvation of his soul. But we know that there's other gifts to help these things. We know there's speaking in tongues. We know there's interpretation. We know there's prophecy, healing, miracles, faith. But it's all to a goal. Can you vision yourself right now with him in his courtroom and be able to say, I'm innocent because I'm not trusting in anything I've done, Lord, but I know that you took my place. Help each one, Lord. I commit them to you. I've done all I know how to do, Lord. Now it's in your hands. May we look past the curtain of time and see the Almighty God in our midst tonight. May we look past our natural eyes and see that the angels encamp about us. And though Satan might be trying to get in, if we'll just cast the reasoning aside, if we'll cast every thought contrary to the Word aside, you'll take our mind and mold it the right way. You'll take our heart and put the right thoughts in it. Lord, that out of our heart we'll speak the Word at all times. Help each one, Lord, we pray. As we yield ourselves to God, I pray that you be glorified in this service. I pray that the word I've spoken would be confirmed by the Spirit of God, that you'd show each one here that I didn't say these things of my own accord, but that you are trying to get something over to us. May each one see the Spirit speaking to them, and may their ears be open and attentive to hear the voice of the Spirit. Commit the congregation in your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stay in the atmosphere of worship. We're going to... Make me more like you. Prayer today for anything you have need of, you come forward. I'll be happy to pray with you. Sing it again now. Just worship him now.
Jesus,
let everything else fade away. Just focus on Christ. Yes, Lord. Incredible, Jesus, make me like you.
And give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like me.
Sing it again with all your heart. Just give him all your heart.
Oh, me. Jesus, make me more.
Let the Spirit have its way with your life. Let Him use you any way He wants. Don't be afraid now. That again softly. Let's just take a time to just all close our eyes and just worship and thank the Lord for what He's done. Maybe what He did for you tonight. Don't worry about anything else. Let's just give Him a little time. You talk to Him your own way. Thank you, Jesus, for all that He's done for me. Your grace and mercy, Lord. I just want to worship and praise You, Lord. When I fail, You don't leave me. Today, Lord, once more. with the power of God to be on my life, Lord, like it should be. You can use me to glorify your great name. Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, fill me, Lord. Jesus, let everything else fall away. I love you and thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for hearing me. Thank you for changing me. Oh, thank you for healing me when I'm sick. Thank you for taking care of me when I was lost. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, blessed God.
Pray that the Lord spoke to you tonight. Before we go, I do just want to make sure you don't leave tonight with a need or a burden still in your heart. If you still feel that, that's Him. That's the Lord trying to tell you that there's just something still there. There's something you need to do. There's something you need to let go of. And I challenge you to stay until you walk out clear conscious. You can just feel it's all off for you because the Lord will do that for you if you let Him. Don't leave here with a need tonight. That's my only suggestion to you. Before we go, Dad, can you give us one more song? I'm just going to hand the service over to Dad. You can stay and worship and pray as long as you want to. If you need to go, you're dismissed tonight. God bless you.